Good morning, everyone. We want to welcome you to the Lord's house on this Sabbath morning. We appreciate your presence and your fellowship with us. Let me just remind you of the words of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Pray that will be true of you in this incoming week. As a congregation too, in coming days we need the Lord's direction. We're going to consider that a little in the message this morning. So we pray we'll know the Lord's guiding hand resting upon us. We're going to sing the second version of the 98th Psalm as we commence our worship this Sabbath morning. Sing a new song to Jehovah, for he wondrous things hath wrought. His right hand and arm most holy, victory to him have brought. So it's the 98th Psalm, the second version, and we'll sing all of the verses together, please. Together just in prayer, still our hearts. Let's pray together for the Lord's presence and blessing on the meeting today. Gracious Father, we come to sing your praise in thy house today. Remember that your word says that we're to sing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs unto the Lord. We're glad, Father, of the opportunity to meet together in your house, gather in your presence, assemble at your feet, to gather around your precious word, and to sing the praises of our God. Lord, we remember all that you've done for us. We're mindful of all your goodness. We'd not want to be forgetful of your many blessings and benefits that you bestow upon us every day. Lord, we acknowledge today that you have given us all that we have. You're the one that gives us life and breath and all things freely to enjoy. And we want to take time, Father, at the beginning of our meeting, as we're bowed before thee, to give to thee the praise and the adoration of our hearts and of our souls. Lord, we want to give thee the worship of our hearts. We want to give thee all the glory. Lord, we want to acknowledge thee as God alone. Beside thee there is none other. You're the maker of all things. Without thee was not anything made that was made. Lord, we remember today we bow before the one who is the Almighty. You're the Lord God, omnipotent. There's no limits to your power. What you've promised, you're able also to perform. And Lord, how that encourages our hearts as we bow before thee today. We want to praise thee for enabling us to be gathered in your house this morning. Lord, we are mindful of those in our congregation unwell. We lift before thee the senior members of our congregation. Lord, remember those that have been so faithful in their attendance, their support of this church for many years, and no longer able to be here because of weakness and infirmity. Lord, we want to pray for them. I ask they'll know your presence. We're thankful that some are able to join by listening to the live stream of the meeting. We pray that that might be a blessing to their hearts. But we're asking, Lord, that in the challenges that they face with weakness and in ill health, that each one will prove the grace of God to be sufficient. Guide the doctors that have responsibility for their care. And Lord, we give thee praise that we're able to be here. We pray that we might never take that health and strength for granted. We remember, as Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. And we're conscious, Father, that the blessings that you give in your wisdom, you're able to take from us. And Lord, we do thank you that we have health and strength, both of a sound body and a sound mind, to be gathered here in your house on this Sabbath morning. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to worship thee, the opportunity today to serve thee. Thank you for this Lord's Day, the first day of the week, a day to be given to the public and the private exercises of your worship. A day, Father, when we can devote ourselves to the service of Christ and to the furtherance of your kingdom. We do thank you for the work done for God today already in this house. We thank you for the children, the young people. Lord, we praise thee for their presence with us. Remember our Savior. He took the little ones up in his arms and he prayed for them and he blessed them. And Lord, our cry for all of the children of this church is that you'll do the same. Put your hand upon them and bless them. Bless them from their earliest days. We recognize, Father, this morning that we could ask for nothing better, nothing greater. We live in a very materialistic world and society, and so many homes and parents think the best thing is to bestow the goods of this world upon their children. We're conscious, Father, of the need of those things, but yet we recognize today the importance of the spiritual blessings resting upon our homes, upon our little ones. We ask the Lord to hear our cries to that end. Bless our children, our young people, and the things of God. May they be young people that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing that all these things, all these other things, will be added unto us. Give our children and our young people a heart for God. Give them a heart for God's day. Give them a desire for God's word, to know it, to understand it. And give to them as well, Father, the grace that is needed to obey it. And Lord, as we pray that for our children and young people, we pray, enable us that are older to set the right example for them. We pray we might be examples of the believers. We pray, Father, that we'll live a life that we would want our children and our young people to emulate and to seek to follow. Remember, the apostle was able to say, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. And Lord, what a challenge that is to our hearts today. We pray that you'll bless this church. We cry for the fullness of your blessing upon every department of the witness of this church. We pray you'll preserve and maintain the testimony here. We ask, Lord, in this year that lies ahead, that you'll lead us on with yourself. We want to pray, Father, that you'll continue to add to this work. We pray that we'll see the work grow through the evident blessing of God and the good hand of the Lord resting upon us. We think of the difficult years that the cause of Christ has passed through with the pandemic, all the challenges that have been faced. And Lord, we think of the apathy and the indifference that that has brought to many. We pray that they might be stirred up, even with regard to their fellowship and attendance again at the house of God. But we pray, and Father, in these days, lead us on with thyself. We pray that the witness of truth in this land will burn brightly and strongly in the dark and evil days in which we're found. We remember what was said of Esther those many years ago, that you're brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. And Lord, in such a time, we recognize the work to be done, the importance of the witness of the gospel. And we're asking, Lord, that you will bless us. And we pray for our young people too, lead others on into full-time service. We pray, Father, that there will be a lengthening of our cords, a strengthening of our stakes. We're mindful today of all the missionaries of our denomination. Thank you for each one, their surrender, their obedience to the call of God, both at home and abroad. We pray that you'll encourage them today in their labours. Remember those that labour among the children in this land of ours. Thank you, Father, for opportunities given into schools and to given to speak to the boys and girls. Lord, we recognise that for many of those children, that is the only contact, the only opportunity that they have to hear the word of God and the message of the gospel. Lord, we're conscious even of the attacks that have been made upon teaching the word of God in the schools in our land. So we want to pray, Lord, keep the door open. We pray that you'll give more opportunities to our home missionaries to speak to the children all across the land in the schools and in the assemblies. Touch hearts among the principals and the teachers, that they would have a desire for the Lord's servants to come in and to teach the word of God. So we're praying, Father, bless in our land. We're conscious of the needs that there are overseas. We're conscious, Father, of the great spiritual blindness in many nations all across the earth. But yet, Lord, we have to acknowledge and lament the spiritual blindness that there is in an even greater degree in our own land in the days in which we're found. We live, Father, to a large extent in a land that has forgotten God. So we pray that you'll be gracious. Pray that you'll, Lord, in your mercy, remember us. And we pray that you'll turn hearts again in this land of ours. Remember our leaders in this province. Remember the leaders at Westminster. We're to pray for kings and all in authority. We pray, Father, for our new king, even as all the plans, the talk of the coronation as it approaches. We pray that his heart might be touched as well. Lord, we remember the kings in Judah and Israel. We think of the kings of Israel. Every one did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Remember, some in Judah did that which was right. And Lord, that's our prayer for our new king, that your hand would be upon him, that you'd give him the fear of God. We pray that he would have a new birth experience. We pray that he would be a man that fears God and that he lives the remainder of his days, even as Manasseh did, brought to Christ in his old age. And he lived out his days as a man that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. We ask thee, Father, to hear these, our prayers, for this land of ours. And we pray that you'll abide with us now. Thank you for a sense of your presence with us today already. We plead, Father, that will continue through the meeting and even through the day and into the gospel service tonight. answer these, our prayers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're reading today, or this morning, please, in the book of Acts. Last week we're in Acts 5. Today we're in Acts chapter 1. The Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter. We're going to begin to read at the 12th verse, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. Acts 1 and the 12th verse. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Just to highlight, I remember Mr. Paisley saying many years ago, it's an interesting thing to study in the scripture the things that are found in the brackets or in the parenthesis, as they're sometimes called. So there you have an example of it, a statement placed in brackets in the Word of God. The number of the names together were about 120. And we'll have a little just to say about that in the message this morning. In verse 16, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. And he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue Aceldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric or his charge or his office, his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men. It's not a very sobering statement. Take time to ponder it. Just in the meeting this morning, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Ending just there this morning. And we're sure the Lord will add his blessing today to this, the public reading of his word. We welcome you all to our Sabbath morning service in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're very thankful to everyone that has gathered. We appreciate your presence with us today. Our prayer is that you'll be blessed, that you'll know the Lord's presence. I want to welcome those that are visiting with us. It's good to have Fred and Rachel Smith and Muriel Lansley with us again today. That's Lily's brother and wife and her sister. We appreciate them coming again along to the services when they're over visiting with the family, and pray you'll be blessed as you fellowship with us around the Word of God today. And to all that have gathered, and we want to thank the children. We're always glad of your presence. We love to hear the children in Sunday school. We love to hear your presence in the house of God. So we're glad to have you with us too today. We welcome those that are watching in on our live stream. We're glad you have been able to join the service in that way. And we pray the Word of God will be a help and a blessing to you. Remember, please, tonight, 6 o'clock is the prayer meeting. Please come and join with us at the place of prayer. 6:30, the gospel service. I hope to be preaching myself. The theme tonight, we're going to think a little about heaven and what you won't see in heaven. We'll set out a number of things that the Bible teaches you won't see in heaven. And a great blessing and comfort that is to our hearts, and we pray it'll be a challenge to those that are still out of Christ. Remember the meetings, God willing, in the week before us. Tuesday, 6:45, the bright hours, both here in the church hall, the band hall in Killalea. Remember both meetings. Pray for the Lord's blessing upon the Word of God as it goes out to the children. Remember, please, Wednesday night, the midweek service, the importance of the prayer meeting. God willing, I'll be here to lead and to speak at that meeting myself. Friday night is the youth meeting at 8 o'clock here in the church hall, a home meeting. And it's going to be a recreational night for the young people. So we encourage you all to come and be present on Friday evening. Next Lord's Day, the first Sabbath in the month of February, the 5th of February, the Sunday School and Bible class is 10:40, morning worship at 11:30. I'll be the preacher myself at the morning service. Remember, there'll be communion immediately after the morning service, as it is the first Lord's Day of the month. So remember that, and we encourage the Lord's people to plan to wait for the time around the Lord's table. The evening service at 6:30 next Sabbath night, that will be the start of our annual testimony month. We'll have testimonies in the will of the Lord every Sunday evening in the month of February. Next Sunday night, young Matthew McGill will testify and he'll also sing. Some of you remember Sister Helen McGill from the Martyrs Church. So Matthew is Helen's son. And he's following in his mother's footsteps with a singing ministry as well. So Matthew will be here to tell us of how the Lord saved him. He's passed through a little bit of ill health as a young person as well. He'll tell you a little about that experience and how the Lord gave him grace as well. So remember the half hour of prayer, please, before both meetings. We do want to re-emphasize that and press it upon your hearts, the importance of that. Keep in mind the election of office bearers. Just to reiterate the date, for those that weren't with us last Sabbath, it's Wednesday the 29th of March. This day 2 months in the will of the Lord. So Wednesday the 29th of March at 8 o'clock in the evening. There will be two special and additional prayer meetings a couple of weeks before that leading up to the election. So that will be Monday the 13th and Tuesday the 14th. So we encourage you to attend those prayer meetings, all of them, if you can, as we pray for the Lord's guidance. Remember, if you'd like to join the church, before the election, speak to me about that as soon as possible. We need to hear from you by the Lord's Day, the 26th. So that'll be 4 weeks today at the latest, if you'd like to join before the election takes place. Remember to take a look at the literature. If you haven't been able to take your copy of the recent magazines of the denomination, remember the Vision and the LTBS Quarterly is there. We've received some newsletters from FAME, the mission update for the winter and spring. So there's copies of those at both of the doors of the church. Do take them as you're leaving the meeting. We're going to sing some verses of another hymn. I believe those are all the matters we need to mention to you by way of announcement this morning. 623, we're going to sing together before we turn to the Word of God. God is here and that to bless us with the Spirit's quickening power. See the cloud already bending, waits to drop the grateful shower. Let this be our prayer, let it come. O Lord, we pray thee, let the shower of blessing fall. We are waiting, we are waiting. O revive the hearts of all. 623, let's stand to sing, please. Seek the Lord. Father, we would want to take the words of the hymn that we have just sung, take them upon our hearts. We bring them before thee and make them the cry of our hearts this Sabbath day. Let it come, O Lord, we pray thee. Let the showers of blessing fall. We are waiting, we are waiting. O revive the hearts of all. Lord, grant us a little reviving today. Remember in the days of Ezra, it said, a little reviving in our bondage. And O God, give to us a little reviving in these days of dearth and spiritual barrenness. May the Spirit come down upon the remainder of the meeting. May the anointing of God rest upon the preaching of your word in this house today. Remember, Father, those that have been bereaved in recent days, we want to pray that they'll know the comfort of the Lord. We remember Sister Doreen and the family, and Margaret too and her family circle. Remember Brother George also and his family circle. And Lord, we think of the loss, the emptiness that each has sustained, the vacant place. Remember that Jonathan said of David, thou shalt be missed, for thy seat shall be empty. And Lord, we think of the vacant places, the empty seats. And we remember that you have assured us never to leave us nor forsake us. And we pray that each of these dear ones and the family circles will know the Lord himself drawing graciously near to comfort and to strengthen their hearts at this time. And Lord, we ask thee just now, lead us through our Bible study. Give utterance, we ask, in the ministry of your word. We pray that you'll make it easy to speak in this house today. We pray that utterance and liberty might be given by thy Spirit. Answer these our prayers, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Take the scriptures, please. We're turning to Acts chapter 1. And if I could direct you to the words of the 24th verse, we'll take as our text this morning. There's other parts of the passage that we read that we want to highlight and dwell upon, but we'll take the 24th verse as our text. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. We have highlighted in the announcements the congregational meeting planned for this day 2 months, the 29th of March. We will, over the next few weeks, not every week, but over these next few weeks, especially the weeks leading up to that, making preparation by way of messages and teaching from the scriptures that will guide the hearts of the congregation. Just to stress that a congregational meeting is a meeting of the members, the communicant members of this congregation. And we want to encourage for all of the members to keep that night free. We encourage a very good turnout of the members for that very important meeting. I want to point out to you the passage that we've read from Acts chapter 1. This passage is a record of the first congregational meeting that was held in the New Testament church after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the first meeting of the members of the Jerusalem church that was held after our Lord ascended up to heaven. The purpose of this meeting that we've read of in Acts 1 was to choose a church officer. In this case, it was to choose a new apostle. So you'll see that this passage has a great relevance for us. We're not going to be choosing a new apostle, but we're going to be choosing new church officers. We're going to be choosing new elders, and then we're going to be re-electing our church committee. So this passage has great relevance for us as a congregation. Let me give you the background. I can remind you that Judas had been a traitor to the Savior. He had betrayed the Lord Jesus, and then he went out and hung himself. And because of Judas's fall, there was a vacancy that had been made and left in the apostolic band. And that vacancy needed to be filled. You'll notice the words there at the end of verse 20. and his bishopric let another take. What Peter's doing there is he's quoting from the Old Testament. He's quoting from the Psalms, Psalm 109, verse 8. He's seeking in this meeting to give a biblical proof or a biblical warrant for filling the office, the vacancy, in the apostolic band. And this passage, I want to emphasize to you, is in the inspired record, the passage that's before us. It's in the inspired record of how they went about that task of filling the vacancy that was left because of Judas's treachery and death. So notice that we're given a very full record of the meeting. We're given a detailed record of this congregational meeting. In fact, over half a chapter is given to the record of it. So what that means, brethren and sisters, is we're given clear biblical example. I can remind you what we've stressed from time to time in the ministry here. We're not always taught on the Word of God by command. Sometimes we're taught by example. Some of the procedures that the church should follow are set out for us by example in the Word of God. And that is what we have here. We're given a very clear biblical example of how to conduct a meeting of the membership, of how to conduct a congregational meeting, of how to conduct a meeting for an election of an office bearer to appoint or to elect office bearers to the local church. So I want us to look for a few minutes at this New Testament congregational business meeting. Notice, first of all, the prayers. I want to stress the importance of that. Notice verses 14 and 15. It says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Can emphasize again, thinking of example, the example of what the apostles did. Remember, they're named in verse 13. Think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, being named, and his brethren, that's his family members, according to the flesh. And it says that they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. So notice, brethren and sisters, congregation here today, the example that they set for us all of being prayer meeting attenders, being faithful by their presence, their support of the prayer meeting of the church, especially at such an important time. And it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." And as they're praying, notice with that background, that backdrop, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Look down the chapter as well, verses 24 and 25. Verse 24, our text, it begins, "And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." So as you think of those verses, two different places in the passage, I want to stress, don't overlook the emphasis on prayer in this passage. Don't overlook the emphasis on prayer at this meeting of the members. And the lesson, brethren and sisters, is that the business of the church, and remember the business they're conducting here, especially the election of a new officer. So the business of the church and the election of new officers, it should be done in the atmosphere of prayer, because that's how it was here in the New Testament church. Can I stress that those that took part in this meeting had been much in prayer? And brethren and sisters, that's how it ought to be. And I want to encourage you to be the same. As we think of the meeting that is planned, it will soon be upon us. So over the next few weeks, I want to encourage you to be much in prayer. I want you to pray about the election. I want to encourage you to be sure that you're out at the prayer meetings. Remember the example that's set here? That's the example to follow. Be out at the prayer meetings. Can I sum it up for you like this? That church business should be done prayerfully. That's true of every aspect of the business of the church. We're highlighting especially the election that's before us. You ask me, what did they pray for? Well, the passage gives us the answer. They prayed for guidance. Look at the words of our text, especially the words at the end. Show whether of these two thou hast chosen. So they prayed for God's mind. They prayed for God's mind to be made known clearly to them. They didn't want to do what they wanted, didn't want to be self-willed, and then ask God to bless it. Sometimes that's the way Christians proceed. That's how they behave. They decide and then they ask God for his blessing upon their decision. They don't ask the Lord to show what he wanted. What this church did was they prayed for God to show his will. They asked the Lord to reveal his man for the job, for the position that was vacant. And brethren and sisters, you need to do the same. Don't be asking your friends who to vote for, or don't be asking your friends to vote for you. That's really not a very spiritual way to proceed. Ask the Lord to show you who to put into office in this church. Prayer is vital. In fact, I say to you today that prayer, the importance of prayer, could not be stressed enough, because committing the whole matter to the Lord in prayer will save us from mistakes being made. You may know, if you've studied this portion, that there's a great debate over the passage. And the question is, did Peter and the church make a mistake at this time? Were they wrong to hold the meeting? Were they wrong to choose Matthias to fill the vacancy in the apostolic band? I don't think they were. And I don't think they were wrong for this reason. Because the decision was approved by the Lord. The decision was ratified, seconded, if you like, by God himself. Because Matthias, along with all the other 11 apostles, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, just a short time after this election took place. So that indicates the fact that God poured out his blessing, or poured out his Spirit in such blessing and such power. That indicates that God was well pleased with what the church had done and was doing at that particular time. But some will argue that you never read of Matthias again after this passage, after he was appointed to this position. I say to you today, brethren, that doesn't prove anything. Because after this chapter, think of the list there in chapter 1, verse 13, the list of the names of the apostles. And after this chapter, you will only read the names of three of the original apostles: Peter, James, and John, what are sometimes described as the inner circle. There are eight apostles that are never named again after this meeting. But they were all still involved in the work. They were all still to the fore in the ministry of the New Testament church. And they're mentioned collectively in such places as Acts chapter 6 and verse 2, where it says, then the 12, there's all of them, the 12, including Matthias, called the multitude of the disciples. So brethren and church sisters, the church made the right decision here in Acts chapter 1. And what kept them right, or what helped to keep them right in that decision, was the times of prayer, the seeking of the mind and the will of God, the prayers that they offered. So I impress upon you, and I've deliberately taken the time to do this 2 months out from the election. I impress upon you, as we approach our congregational meeting, our election and the will of God, we must be careful to do it prayerfully as a congregation. We need to commit our way on to the Lord. We need to pray together and pray, Lord, teach me thy way. Direct our paths. Order our steps at this important time in the history of this congregation. So they gave attention to prayer. Notice that they also gave attention to the person. You find that in verses 21 to 23. It says, "Wherefore, of these men, which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. As you read those words, kind of emphasize, point out, one of the important things we have to learn is this. Not everyone was suitable for this office. Not everyone in the New Testament church, the church in Jerusalem at that time, was suitable to be an apostle. There was a process that they went through. And when the members, or some of the members of the church, were eliminated from being considered for the office of apostle. Remember, there was 120 people present in the meeting. You see that there in the words in verse 15 that I highlighted in the reading, the words that are found in the brackets, the number of names together were about 120. So there's 120 people, 120 members. But of that 120, there was only two. Isn't that interesting? There was only two suitable for the position that was vacant, the position in question. All the other 118 were eliminated from running for the post. Their names weren't even on the list. Their names weren't even on the ballot, if you like, whenever it came to the vote. But how did they eliminate those 118 members? Was it by personal preference? Did they say to themselves, "I like him, but I don't like him. He has plenty of money. He has a high-powered job. We want to keep in with him." That's not how they operated. That's not how the decision was made, brethren and sisters. Although you will know that is what happens in some churches and in some denominations. What they did here in Acts chapter 1 was this. They considered the qualifications for the position. They considered carefully what qualified a man for the office of an apostle. And remember that those were God-given qualifications. And then as they considered the God-given qualifications, they considered all the possible candidates. And in the light of those qualifications, remember they set the two one beside each other. So they considered the qualifications and they considered all the possible candidates in the light of the qualifications. And whenever they did that, there was only two that were left. The two mentioned in verse 23. Joseph, called Barsabbas, surnamed Justus, and Matthias. So Peter outlined the qualifications for an apostle. He did it there in verses 21 and 22. "Wherefore of these men, which have accompanied with us, all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us," so that's the whole period of the Savior's earthly ministry, "beginning from the baptism of John," remember that marked the start of his earthly ministry, "until that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." Peter sets out, outlines the qualifications for an apostle. An apostle must be a man. A man who was with the Savior right throughout his earthly ministry. Was taught of the Lord directly. Witnessed his great power, his preaching, his miracles. So he must be a man who was with the Savior right through his earthly ministry. And he must be a man who was with the Savior and a witness of his resurrection. So to sum it up, an apostle is a man personally sent by Christ to preach the message of the resurrection. Those are the qualifications for an apostle. Can I ask you to remember that? And I encourage you to remember it for this reason. There are no apostles today, but some claim to be an apostle. But they clearly don't meet the standard. They can call themselves whatever they like, but the reality is they are not New Testament apostles. But this is what they did, brethren and sisters. They looked for men who met the qualifications for the office. And I say to you today that you must do the same. That is vital when it comes to this church election. Remember that the New Testament clearly states the qualifications needed for office in the church. The qualifications for the elder, they're found particularly in 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 7, Titus 1, verses 5 to 9. The qualification for the deacon or the committee man is found primarily in 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 to 13, follows on after the qualifications for the elder, and also in Acts chapter 6 and the verse 3. I highlight those passages for you. I exhort you to take time to read them. Read over those passages carefully. As well as reading over them, pray over them. In the will of the Lord, we'll look at some of them a little closer in future weeks. But I encourage you to read them and to study them for this reason. Only those men who meet the standard should be considered for office, should be prayed about as you're asking the Lord for direction. It's a foolish thing to pray about someone if the Word of God rules them out in the first place. So you see, they give attention to prayer. That's how they started. They gave attention as well to the person. The final thing I'll mention about this meeting of the members, the congregational meeting, was they gave attention to the people. If you look at verse 26, the final verse, it says, "And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." The common idea is that this man, Matthias, was chosen by one lot being drawn out of a bag or out of an urn, as they did in Old Testament times, whenever lots were used and lots were drawn. But if you read the words carefully, you will see, brethren and sisters, that that didn't happen. That's not what happened at all in this place. Notice the words. It says, "They gave forth their lots." The idea is completely different from what happened in the Old Testament. The idea is that they all took part. Everyone that was present in the meeting, they cast a lot, or they cast a vote, if you like. All who were at the meeting had the opportunity to indicate who they wanted to be in the post, who they wanted to fill the vacancy in the apostolic band. And brethren and sisters, that's the New Testament method of church government. It's the people that decide who should be in office. It's the people who decide who should rule over them, who should be their elders, who should be their deacons, who should be their minister as well, when that is necessary, when the opportunity or the occasion arises. Remember, whenever the first deacons were appointed, you have the record of that a little further on in the book of Acts chapter 6. The apostles, remember I quoted what it said about the apostles, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples. So the apostles were involved in directing the church at that time. And they said, "Look ye out among you seven men full of the Holy Ghost," and so on. So notice the words, "Look ye out." They didn't make the decision. It wasn't like the Church of Ireland, the Anglican Church, where the bishop or the archbishop decides who goes to a certain church. The apostles said, "Look ye out among you." So it was the people who decided who should have the job of deacon at that particular time. But that poses the question for us then, which people made the choice? And that's a vital question. And it was the membership, brethren and sisters, of the church that made the choice. Those whose names were on the membership roll of the church. You know, sometimes we can be asked, when we type up a list of members and we put it up on a notice board for the congregation to check that their name's on the list approaching an election, sometimes you're asked the question, well, where do you find that in the Bible, typing up a list of the names of the members of the church? Well, I stress to you again, it was those whose names were on the membership roll in the church in Jerusalem that voted in this election. Look again at those words at the end of verse 15, the words in brackets. The Holy Ghost took the time to put the detail into the passage for us. The number of names together were about 120. Now look at it carefully. It doesn't say the number of the people. That's often what people think when they read that. That maybe Peter stood up that night at the beginning of the meeting and he went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And he counted everybody that was in the meeting. And when he got to the end, he said, there's 120 people that are present. Well, I reckon there was 120 people present that night. All the members were present. Again, that's an example. That's a challenge. The verse says the number of names together were about 120. So the idea, brethren and sisters, well, let me put it to you like this. Ask the question, whose names? The number of whose names totaled up to 120. Whose names have been talked about there? Well, the idea is they had a role of membership. Just like I indicated to you, you type it up. There was no Windows software in those days, so it was probably all written by hand. But the idea is they had a role of membership. And on the roll, on the list, were the names of those who were the official members of the church. Isn't that significant? Isn't it very significant in the context of a congregational meeting? They had a list of names, and it was those people who voted, and no one else had the opportunity to vote at that meeting. So as I finish, let me remind you, in due course, we will put up the list of names. And in doing that, brethren and sisters, we're just following the New Testament pattern. We didn't make it up. Times were accused of that. We didn't make it up. We're doing exactly what the New Testament church did. And if your name is on the list, if you're a communicant member of this church in good standing, when that night comes around, you will have opportunity to vote. That's a privilege. There's privileges and responsibilities of membership. One of the privileges is you have the opportunity to vote at meetings such as that. The right to vote, just as it is in the country. Sometimes there's voter apathy. We can have voter apathy at congregational meetings as well. Let me discourage that. If your name is on the list, you have an opportunity to vote, to have a say in the future of this congregation. So I urge you to be at that meeting on Wednesday, the 29th of March. The first congregational meeting of the New Testament church after the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts. 440, teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. Thy gracious aid afford, teach me thy way. Help me to walk aright, more by faith, less by sight. Lead me with heavenly light, teach me thy way. Let this be our prayer today, coming days and coming weeks. 440 will stand as we sing, please. Father, we give thee praise for this meeting this morning. We thank you for a sense of the Lord with us. We thank you, Father, that we have known your presence. We pray that that will continue with us. We would not want to take it for granted. We pray, save us from doing anything that would grieve thee, to withdraw your presence and your power from us. Thank you, Father, for the teaching, the instruction of your word. Bless the message that has gone forth. We pray that you'll guide us as a result of it. We pray for guidance, Father, to be given to this church, especially to the membership of the church. Remember that prayer that they prayed those many years ago. Show whether of these two thou hast chosen. And Lord, we ask thee to show clearly to the membership of the church, those that you have chosen at this time to be elders of this congregation and to be committee men in coming days. We ask, Father, for the very clear and definite direction of the Lord to be given. We pray, Father, keep your hand upon the church at this time. We pray especially, Father, that you'll keep your hand upon us and preserve the unity, the peace of this congregation. We look to thee for your grace and help in all of these things. Be with us tonight. Lord, bring in the lost. Bring in the stranger. Bring in those that are still out of Christ. Visit us, Lord, we pray, in the house of God this evening. Come by your Spirit, so that there might be those that are born again. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, be our abiding portion. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.